Father, you have the words of life. We have no place else to go. And we're here because we want to know what your Spirit would tell us to do and how your Spirit would lead and guide us. Please, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, show us how to do church, how to do life, how to do relationships, how to do children. God, I confess on behalf of me and my family that I don't know nothing. Apart from you, I have nothing, I am nothing, I've accomplished nothing, never will be anything. With you, I can do all things through you who give me strength. Without you, anything in my life is possible for the worst kind of things. Thank you for keeping me in your love, God. And I pray that my brothers and sisters here know that same desperation for you every day. May your word lead us into that. In Christ Jesus, amen. Okay, today we're going to start exactly where we started some 13 years ago, almost to the day. It was June of 2006, I believe, where we started a Bible study in my living room. The Lord had told me to do this, I believe, and after about 16 or 18 months of preparation from my home church, me and my wife started a Bible study on Wednesday night. And what we thought was the best thing to do would be to start in the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is the story of the church. If you're new to Scripture, you've got the Old Testament and you have the New Testament. The Old Testament is the Jewish Scriptures, which is all about the coming of Messiah, whom we know as Yeshua or Jesus Christ. So if you're a Christian here, or you come from a Roman Catholic background, or whatever traditional background you may come from, know this, that we should be closest to the Jews than any other people group there is, because we share a Bible, for goodness sakes. After the Old Testament, which we looked at the last chapter of the book of Nehemiah last Wednesday, there is an intertestamental period of about 400 years. Some people call it the silent years, although I don't like that term because God's never been silent to his people. It's just their sins block them from hearing. Then Malachi writes the last book of the Old Testament, bringing in to the New Testament. The New Testament starts with the apostles being chosen, with the birth of the Lord Jesus and him choosing the apostles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The book of Luke is specifically germane to today's study because Luke was the only Gentile writer in the New Testament. He's the only one who wasn't Jewish that wrote a part of the New Testament. Plus, not only did he write the book of Luke, he also wrote the book we're going to start studying now. It's probably going to take us the better part of a year or so, at least 8 or 9 months to finish the book of Acts. It's a long book, but every single chapter is packed with the story of the book of Acts. Should not be called, if you look, it says the Acts of the Apostles. More appropriately, it should be Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. It's an ongoing story that has no end. By the time we get to the last chapter of the book of Acts, you're going to be like, that's it? It's almost like eating a bag of chips, and you get to the bottom, you go, where'd they go? Where'd they all go? There's this place called Lucky's. It's out west. It's by Wiles and University area. And Lucky's is like a poor man's Fresh Mart, I guess. And you go down one of the aisles, and they have all these bins of different candies, like old school. Not like candies, though, but like they have one particular candy. It's these little square graham crackers covered in peanut butter. They're so good. And every time my wife buys them, I have this one chair that I sit in when I pray and I read, and she buys it back and she puts it in there. And every time I sit there, I just eat. And she comes in every once in a while, and I go, what did I happen? She goes, what's the matter? I ate them all. Every one of them. You're a bad person. That's how I feel after you read the book of Acts. Just like I just ate graham peanut butter covered graham crackers. What happened? Well, here's what happened. Your turn. Your turn. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit and do the acts thereof, which is a huge part of the first two chapters. We're going to look at before and after the falling of the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Lord Jesus. When he came back from the dead, he breathed and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And what's the first amazing thing they did when they received the Holy Spirit? They went fishing. So thus, we don't declare that as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but the receiving of the Holy Spirit for salvation. Nothing to build a religion on. Don't leave saying that church has a crazy doctrine. Don't do that. If you want to believe they received the Holy Spirit there as a baptism, that's fine. Go ahead. But we're going to see why it's so important through the book of Acts for you not just to come to church, not just for you to stand up and say, yes, God, would you please take my life, but to petition one-third of the Trinity, of the Godhead, and say, God, fill me with yourself. Everybody knows who the Father God is. Everybody, of course, talks about the Lord Jesus. But how many here have neglected their relationship with the Holy Spirit? Why is that important? Let me explain to you this. And this is a huge part of everything that we do here. If you've ever been unhappy, if you've ever been miserable, if you've ever had to scowl, that look is called sin. It's called sin. And the more you sin, the more you will harden your face. The more you sin, the more it's a besetting sin, it's a lifestyle sin, it's a presumptuous sin, it's a sin of omission. The more you're heaped on with these sins, the more your scowl will be. But conversely, it works just the opposite. If you are here and you're tired of being mad, and you're tired of being PO'd at everybody, and you're tired of being so moody, and you don't even know sometimes why you're upset, I'll tell you why right now. It's because you got sin, and you're choosing not to deal with it or denying that it's there altogether. Now, you say, what authority do you have to say that? I'll tell you two authorities. Number one, my own life. Miserable. You know, when I was a kid, I was the happiest little turd there was. I was such a happy kid. You know how kids grow up and they're pure and they're holy and they're always laughing. You look at my little granddaughter, it's my life. She smiled. Wait. Was that a smile? Was that a guess? What was that? That's what I mean. But what happens? 5 and 6, they can't stop giggling and laughing. Something happens at 7 and 8. They discover what it is to lie. She's not here, so let's talk about her. But my daughter Kiki, the worst thing happened. One time she lied and got away with something. Worst thing ever. Turned out to be like the sweetest candy she ever had. I mean, you could literally catch that. I watched that child last week step in a pile of crap in the front yard, wipe off her foot, and then go in the house. And then I said, I'm trying to help her, you know what I mean? I'm trying to help her. Somebody stepped in it and brought it in the house. Who was it? I said, let's see. I get a paper towel, get the spray. Who might want to help me clean up this mess? Cammie, was it you? Oh, no! Cammie, it wasn't you. Stop crying. I thought it was me. But Kiki, wasn't me. Wasn't me. I said, Kiki, come here, baby. Come here. Maybe you didn't see that you stepped in the poop and wiped your foot off on the grass, but I saw you. No, you didn't! Immediately freak out mode, face contorted. What is that? Sin. Now, you could find salvation without being happy. You can. I know plenty of people that are saved and as miserable as anybody in the world, more so. But if you are here and you want to be blessed, this is not legalism. This is just straight up fact. If you want to smile back on your face, if you want to remember what it was like being a kid and being happy, man, search your life. Examine. Where is the sin in my life? Am I just a liar? Have I not let my yes be yes and my no be no? Am I angry or angstful about my upbringing? Have I not forgiven my parents for their horrible transgressions of bringing me into this world? I mean, what is it in your life? Is it the pornography? Is it the drug? What part of the sin in your life has drooped your smile? Has stolen your joy? Now, if you want to do something very interesting, let me explain it to you like this. Do you know what the word blessed means in the original language, both Hebrew and Greek? Happy. It means happy. That's all it means. And every time the Lord says, I will bless you, you are blessed. He's saying, happy. Don't you want to be happy? I mean, who the heck here would sit and go, no, I don't want to be blessed. Keep your happiness, your blessings to yourself. Only somebody so entrenched in their sin, so chained to their own desires and ways, we're so stuck. And now, which leads us to the book of Acts, how is it to be stuck that you are released? The Bible says, in order to plunder the goods of a man's house, you must first bind the strong man. The enemy is strong, but our God is stronger. There's a song by Rita Springer. It's called Rise Up. I'm gonna rise up, gonna rise up, gonna rise up and call myself blessed. You know this song? There's a line in the song. She says, no curse can ever take his promise from me. I love singing that song over my life. Sometimes you get a song and you sing it over your own life. See, yes, you, I need a song that proclaims the blessings. I'm gonna rise up. I'm gonna rise up and call myself blessed. You know I sing it over my own life. Watch what happened, watch how it happened, and watch that when it happened, over the course of the next 10 years that we're covering in the book of Acts, watch what happens when a person's life is filled with the Holy Spirit. The purpose, the challenge, the change that these, as we say in the town, these struts, these people, these apostles, what a bunch of struts. But now, filled with the Holy Spirit, they become mighty men of God. Mighty. Chapter 1, verse 1. The former account I made. Who are we talking? Who made the account? Luke. Oh, Theophilus, or Theophilus, however you want to pronounce that. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, when he says the former account, what is he referring to, guys? What did I just say? The book of Luke, the former account. If you read the last chapter of the book of Luke, it begins the first chapter of the book of Acts. Now, he's writing to this person named Theophilus or Theophilus. That is a combination. It's a compound word. Theo in the Greek means God. Philo, friend, lover of God, literally it means. Now, some scholars suggest that Theophilus was his master. Back in biblical times, Luke being a doctor, we know he was called Dr. Luke. Doctors were slaves. They were purchased by very wealthy men to take care of their house. So some think that Theophilus was a slave master who set him free to go do the work of the Lord. Some people think that it's code that is written. This is written to everybody, every lover of God, every Theophilus. You with me? Now, how come we don't know? Please understand, when reading the Bible, we use one thing as pure fact, and you know what that is? The Bible. Everything else is historical, church tradition, hearsay. We don't know because the Bible doesn't say. We only know through church tradition and extra biblical writings. So we cannot emphatically say whether Theophilus was a man or a pseudonym. You know what I mean. So the former account, the book of Luke, I made, lover of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. If you guys remember, we looked at all the ways he appeared to the apostles in the room. He appeared to first he appeared to Mary Magdalene and then the other ladies. He appeared to the on the road to Emmaus, all of the things. Plus, according to the book of Luke and the book of John, he appeared to over 500, many who were still alive at the time of the writing of that book. Now, for time's sake, the writing of the book we're looking at occurred somewhere between 60 and 64 BC. I'm sorry, AD. The reason being, there were some events in history that he would have pertained to. The persecution of the church by Nero, the destruction of Jerusalem, all these things happened at, and he refers to none of them. And as you'll see, the book of Acts is laid out as much as a historical book as anything else. So scholars agree that at the time of this writing, this man was in his mid-50s to mid-60s, because that's when the book was written, this doctor. Now, also, there is called a we, scholars refer to a we section in the book. We're going to see that there was a guy in Macedonia who appears to Paul in a dream and says, come and minister to us in Macedonia. You guys might remember that story. Some say that was Luke. Why? Because in Luke chapter 16, you're going to see the writing immediately changes from they did this, he did that, to we did this. He becomes a constant companion of the Apostle Paul. This Dr. Luke follows him all around, gets into as much trouble as he does, and then from that point on, he is with him. As a matter of fact, according to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, he's the only one who didn't abandon Luke, Paul. When writing, he said, only Luke is with me. Okay. Now you know the background. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them, speaking of the Lord, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. You could circle that word for power and right next to it, dynamite, the Greek word dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost, or what they call the ends of the earth, which is all what the book of Acts is about. The apostles' witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. Wait until you receive power. Now, wait a second. I thought that he already breathed on them the power of God. No, that's another reason we say he breathed on them the salvation of God. They are now waiting for the power of God to fall upon them. Now, this is all going to make sense next week. We're not going to do two chapters because otherwise we'd be here for 3 hours. However, continuing, verse 9. If you have any questions about this stuff, ask me later, because there's a lot of stuff here that we kind of crossed the line into doctrinal. If you want to talk about doctrine, we could talk about doctrinal things after the fact. Why at Calvary Chapel are we not kind of passive like the Southern Baptist Church, or like the Lutheran Church, or like the Presbyterian Church? But why are we not aggressive like the Pentecostal Church, the Assemblies of God churches? We believe at Calvary Chapel, we fall right in the middle. And here's where we get the basis for that. When I started this church, when my family started this church, did Tom leave? He left? Me and Tom, the drummer, we visited for about 3 or 4 months. We visited all these different churches. We visited Pentecostal churches. We visited Emmanuel Baptist. This is a real strict, hardcore Southern Baptist. We went to these Pentecostals. I just said, listen, if I'm going to do this, I got to know why I'm doing it. I want to see what it is. We tend to get caught up in style as opposed to doctrine. At Calvary Chapel, we do 3 fast songs, 3 slow songs, and then we preach the word. Well, we change that a little bit. We play a little bit of different music. We have a prayer time in the middle. Yeah, but people can't handle, you guys are there too long. That's okay. I don't like your church because I don't believe in your doctrine. No. You don't believe in our style, maybe. But our doctrine, that has nothing to do with our music. So Calvary Chapel of Deerfield Beach, we are an offshoot of Calvary Chapel from Costa Mesa, who are now part of the movement called Calvary Chapel Association. In case you want to complain to somebody, don't call Bob, he doesn't care. Don't call Doug, he doesn't care. You call Ken Graves in Bangor, Maine. You can call Pastor Raz in Miami. These are the guys I listen to. These are the guys I take orders from. These are the guys that call me. Jim Coy in Mountainside in Murphy, North Carolina. These are the guys that can call me and go, hey, what are you doing? Other than everybody else, I go, just like you teenagers, I go, what are you doing? So, having said that, continuing. Verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Let me give you the comedic, yet what I believe is the actual depiction of what happened. He's telling them these things, and they say to him, hey, when are you going to restore the kingdom? Now, what they were saying is, when are we going to kick these Romans' butts and take over now? It's the same thing we all wonder as Americans. When are we going to tell this government we had enough of them telling us what to do? When are we going to finally take this thing back? And he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that God has placed in his own authority. You just receive the power and do as you're led to do. You understand? So when he says this, he literally, a cloud comes and he goes up, and the apostles, it's like, they're all standing around like this. No way that just happened. They're like this. You ever watch a movie with a kid? Sometimes not a kid. You're gonna catch, my father used to always say to me, not that I did it or anything like that, Ryan, you're gonna catch a fly, close your mouth. And that's what they were doing. They were sitting around just saying, oh. And I imagine that the Lord had to, and I mean no, I don't mean to be sacrilegious when I say this, but I imagine he like got on the phone and called a couple angels, like, tell them to get to work. So there's 2 angels and goes, guys, what are you staring up for? He told you what he's going to do. Why are you surprised when what he said happens? Oh, there's an application there. Why are you surprised when what unfolds in our lives is exactly what the Bible says is going to unfold in our lives? You want to be blessed? Be holy. You don't want to be holy? Don't expect to be blessed. And then don't complain about God because you've decided not to be holy and you're not blessed. Now, when do you calculate these things? When do you figure them out? When you're convicted of them. Because we prayed for Nikki and Jeremy, you know, a couple years back. They're in the church and they started coming to our church and they said, hey, man, you know, we're living in sin. Could you get us right with God? I said, freaking A, right, I will. That's my job, get people right with God. Man, that's my joy. Jimmy and Jess, hey, man, get us right with God. I mean, if I look at the couples around here, God bless you, brother. Yeah, man, could you get me right with God? You two guys, same thing. Get me right with God. Why? We want to be blessed. God is in the business of blessing messes. That's what he does. Where am I? When they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room, and where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James, not the other Judas, of course. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So they leave the mountain, still yet not being baptized by the Holy Spirit. They meet in the upper room, and they start praying. Now, what did the Lord Jesus say to them? Wait until you receive power. Wait until you receive. I think I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, how many of you guys here think, don't raise your hand, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit? Okay, you think you're filled with the Holy Spirit because you received salvation, or you baptized with the Holy Spirit because the Spirit baptized you? And then you say, no, I'm baptized in the Spirit. Tell me when. Tell me how. Tell me the byproduct. When you go to serve God, we ask you, have you been baptized? Oh, yeah, when I got saved at Calvary Fort Lauderdale, I got saved. Is that when you got baptized? Yeah. Now, I'm going to leave that there for a minute. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Of course he did, because he had nothing better to do. Although the number of the names was about 120, and said, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. The first thing I want you to notice is, after 3 years of ministry, how many people were still following? 120, maybe, they were following. Some of them might have. So the next time somebody tells you if the ministry's not growing, it's not God, say, really? It's a shame the book of Acts don't bear that out. It's a shame the Bible doesn't talk about that. 120 people, shoot. We got more than 120 people right here. We must be a book of the Acts church. Now, we can really be a book of Acts church if we had like 15,000. Because then God would really be in it, right? No, it's not how it works. Well, at one point, they was feeding 5,000. There was 5,000 people showing up to get food. And they were showing up to get food, and they weren't showing up to get the Holy Spirit or the Word of God. So what kind of ministry do you want to have? You want to have a Book of Acts ministry or a Book of Luke ministry? Book of Luke, where 5,000 people showed up to get food, or Book of Acts ministry, where 120 people sat to pray in supplication? I know which one I want. Guess which one. Now, what he does, Peter, not yet being filled with the Holy Spirit, and now watch this. I'm going to give you some conjecture, backed up by my pastor, by a couple of people whom I respect. Stay with me. There's an amazing lesson to be gleaned here, and this is the last part of the study. This is the last message, but watch this, guys. Peter, not yet being filled with the Spirit, didn't know what to say yet. So still being like Peter, standing up and sticking his foot in his mouth. even though he was in prayer, he did not wait for the Spirit to fall on him. He stands up and he goes, you know what we got to do? Because Judas is gone, we got to put somebody else in. That's what we got to do. There's supposed to be 12 apostles. There's only 11. Let's choose another one. Oh, really? Verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. I love him as a preacher, though. How do you not love this guy? You know what happened to Judas? He hung himself, and then the rope broke, and he busted his guts open, splashed everywhere. How's that? You might want to calm down a little. People don't like hearing all about that stuff. If you want to grow a church, you can't talk about entrails. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem. So that field is called in their own language, Akeldama. That is, field of blood. Then he continues to preach, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time of the Lord Jesus went in and out among us from the beginning of the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Why? Because the Bible says so. Yeah, but is it possible you're applying that Bible verse in the wrong place? No. Why? Because I'm Peter. Well, it's good that you're using the Bible to lead and guide you, but maybe you want to talk to somebody else about whether you're applying the Bible verse in the right way, my brothers and sisters. And don't just find a Bible verse that tells you what you want to hear because it's what you want to hear. Ooh. You know how many brothers come to me and go, man, I'm telling you, that girl, she's the one for me. Like, why do you say that? Well, the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Yeah, but that's somebody else's wife, not that wife. You want to find your own wife. Well, maybe he'll die or something. Obviously, I hyperboled that a little bit. I was joking. But I have had most men, when finding a wife, use that verse as a reason why I should marry him to this amazing woman. But the point I'm saying here is, you're going to see how Peter goes from one sermon to another, and how, when filled with the Holy Spirit, everything's different. This is called working in the flesh. Now, why do I say that? Look at the last part of chapter 1. And they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen. So now, how would the Holy Spirit show them which of the two he's chosen? Would he show them by their good works? I mean, think about how the Lord is going to reveal this man who would go down as one of the apostles, who would be on a throne next to the Lord in heaven. Let's see this godly thing that they do. To take part in the ministry and the apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast lots. And the lot fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11. They shot dice for it? 7, it's Matthias. 11, it's Justus. Matthias! Now, again, I could be totally screwing this up, and I could get to heaven, and Matthias could be to me like, we got to talk about this. But I don't think so. And again, I didn't just come up with this on my own. I talked to another couple. What is she doing? Alex, don't do that to your mother in the middle of church. You know, I talked to a couple of guys and they agreed that there's definitely merit. And a lot of people have preached the same thing. And the message behind it is very, very important. Listen, if you got big decisions to make, don't make them based upon the flesh. Don't make them based upon your own desire. Don't make them especially upon a rush. Pete, why rush? Who should be the 12th apostle? Anybody? Chapter 9, book of Acts. The apostle Paul, who would go on to write the most of the New Testament. But Peter rushed ahead. Oh, St. Peter. Now we're going to see the difference. And if you want to see the difference in personal application, watch. You could read ahead chapter 2 next week. We're going to study it. But more important, read 1 and 2 Peter. The godliness that falls upon this man's life, the amazing transformation of the Apostle Peter. You read 1 and 2 Peter, and then look at him, the pardon the verbiage, but the dope that he was all through the Gospels, just one after another, one stumble upon another, standing in front of the Lord, cutting the guy's ear off, rebuking the Lord Jesus. That shall never happen to you. Really? Peter, really? And then when the Spirit falls upon him and he walks in the power of the Spirit for a few years and he writes the book of 1 Samuel, some of the most amazing scripture verses in the world in the book of 1 and 2. Just, you read it and it's so rich. I just started my own personal study of the book of 1 Peter. I haven't read it in a couple of years. It's just, oh my goodness. Man, I got to read you my morning devotion, guys, real quick. Look, the same guy who just stood up there. Listen to this, what he wrote this morning. He didn't write it this morning. I read it this morning. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just honeycomb, man. Just honeycomb. That's not the same Peter that was rebuking Jesus. No way. It is filled with the Spirit. And we're going to look at being filled with the Spirit next week. Plus, we're going to pray for the gift of the Spirit next week. Well, didn't we just do that? Listen, I only do what Scripture says to do. I don't go beyond it. I don't go in front of it. The Spirit next, the Holy Spirit falls on the apostles next week. We're going to pray for that. This week, pray the same. Maybe it's something that you missed out on last time, and now you got an opportunity to get it again. However, last part of the message, remember, decisions based upon Scripture, the leading of the Holy Spirit, solid counsel, and remember to apply the James. James, the Lord's brother, in 3 and 17, in James 3:17, he said, the wisdom that is from God. Matter of fact, turn there so you guys can highlight this. And if you're ever getting into some situation and you're wondering how to handle it and how to apply the wisdom of God, because you certainly don't want to do it apart from God. I mean, who wants to do anything apart from God? And if you do, expect that you won't be smiling afterward. James 3 and 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And then I just add verse 18, I love. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So, you're making a big decision? Don't be like the ding-dong apostles before the Holy Spirit. Be like the Spirit-filled apostles after chapter 1, chapter 2, who the Spirit fell on, and they went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world with the message of the gospel, not just the message of the gospel, but the power of the Spirit upon them to deliver that message God's way. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. God, how amazing and how we look forward to seeing what you want our church to look like. God, I think about Acts 2:42 all the time. I just love that verse, and they continue steadfastly in
the apostles' doctrine and in prayer and the breaking of bread and the giving thanks, God, I so hope that this church always is doing that, God. And Lord, for my brothers and sisters that are here, that maybe this is the first time going through the book of Acts, God, transform our lives. Holy Spirit, we petition you now that no curse can ever take the promise of God from us, the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. Lord, bless us, please. And that all that you want to receive the Holy Spirit, God, may they come back next week and may we pray your Spirit down upon us like the dynamite that your word says it is. Thank you, God, for the beginning of your church. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.